Amen. Map rolling. Amen, amen. Good morning, Facebook, and people everywhere, members of St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church, Straight Gate Ministries, and the body of Christ in general. Amen. It is good for us to be here, and we thank God for you this morning. I'm glad you have decided to join us here for our message today, and we are blessed to be back here in the sanctuary. We're just here for the time. We don't have the whole church in yet, and we're waiting because of, like we say, it is a dangerous time. But I just want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for tuning in at this time. Amen. We do have a word from the Lord, as usual, and we will go before the Lord in prayer. And before we get started, I just want to thank the Lord for letting us be here today, and hope you will pray along with me, because we do have a good word from the Lord for today. Amen. And so if you like to get our notes, you can find them online at sttmbc.org or teachingbible.org, and you can get the notes that go along with any of the messages and be able to share them. Of course, we like to ask you to share right now, the people that we're doing live right now, if they're available, so that they can also tune in to the broadcast. Amen. So as we are going to do here, just as our custom, we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we praise you this morning. Father, we just exalt your name. We thank you today, God. We bless you today, Father. We lift up your name. We're grateful and thankful that you let us be here once again in the sanctuary. We realize that you are everywhere all at the same time, and you don't have to go anywhere, Father. It's only us who are restricted to such things as that. But you are the infinite God who fills all the heavens and the universe and the earth, and you are everywhere. So we thank you today, Lord God, for your magnificent power. Father, we thank you for your word. We exalt your name, Father. We give you praise because you are excellent and you are worthy of all praise. And so, Father, we delight that you have called us to be your children. Father, we are praying that there would be a healing for those who need healing. Father, we pray for those who are grieving over the loss of a loved one for any reason, whether it be coronavirus or just whatever, any kind of a reason why there might be grief today, Lord. We ask you to give them comfort, because we know there's nothing that anyone can do that's better than you giving a person comfort. And so we pray for their comfort today, Lord, that you give them some understanding, give them some wisdom, give them your peace. And Father, we just ask you to bless all those out there in the world today. We pray for that the families of those who are broken and bereaved over anything, Lord, the situation going on in Minneapolis and all the nations around the world. We pray that you let a spirit of peace come up over them, Lord God. And Father, we pray for those families who are being hurt, and all the different things, financial things that people are going through, Lord God, at this time. Finances were already bad from the previous situation. Now they're even made worse by some of the things people are doing. So, Father, we lift all that up to your attention and to all our friends on Facebook and our families, Lord, and we ask that you do something about it. We know you are the God of peace. You are the God of grace. And so, Father, we just thank you for grace and peace, which you sent to this world by your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask you to bless your word today as it goes forth, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise and the glory, and we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go ahead and give God a hand for you. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for, once again, returning here. Kind of like the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. But we're thankful to connect with all of you out there in either case. So we do have a word today from the Lord. I'd like to call your attention to a couple of passages which we have studied before, but we want to go right ahead now and study these again. So we're now living in what the Apostle Paul stated to Timothy, his son in the faith, in the perilous times. That's one of the terms he used to characterize this time, that these are the perilous times. And what Jesus himself called birth pangs, he said that these things would happen to let you know, just as a birth pangs come upon a woman with child before the times of judgment begin to be ushered in. And so we believe that as we read Matthew 24 and Paul's letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, that these are perilous times and these are the birth pangs that precede the birth and the ushering in of the new kingdom and the final judgments of God and all that. And so we thank God. This is just before the time of his wrath and his judgment that we start to see these birth pangs, that God has sent his son to correct everything that the first Adam, his son, had sinned against him and caused the course of sin to be the curse of sin. I'm sorry, be upon all the descendants of Adam. Every one of us who was born of Adam, which is every human being anywhere on earth, are under the curse of Adam. And so God sent his son, Jesus, to provide salvation and to fix that problem. That was a serious problem, and so God is the only one who could fix it. It was a big enough problem that only God could fix it. And the way he did it, which he had prepared even before the foundation of the world, was to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's by Christ alone that man is set right with God. And so this is what I'd like you to look at today. So in this message today, we're going to talk about living through the days of destruction, of the deception. I think I have a misprint there on my handout. I might have did a typo there if you see it. Living through the days of deception. So we want to look at these. These are what I call the days of deception, and you'll understand why as we develop the message. And also we'll look into the prophecy is in Psalm 2, which actually gives kind of a nutshell of everything that I'm talking about. You can see it in Psalm number 2, and it'll help put a kind of a shell around everything we're talking about mankind. Now, what we want you to know is do not worry about anything. We know that people right now are upset over racial prejudice and all those kind of things, all kinds of discrimination and all of that, and this is our characteristic of the times that we live in. And so it's been going on for a long time. I don't approve of it, neither does God, because God made every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people for his glory. That's the real purpose. And so if people don't understand that, that's a serious problem, and racism is an awful sin right along with all the rest of the sins. There's all kinds of sin in the world. Racism is one of them. And we can understand some things and get a little peace during times like this if we just take a look at what the word says in Psalm number 2, and we can understand the evil course of human history and see where the world is heading for those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's going to be there, and I want to talk with you about that for just a few minutes. And also, as we examine the condition of the kingdoms of this world, we can see that many things are in the midst of a shifting from separated nations of a global system. There's a global system in place. And I will show you a time in previous history when there was a global system that was in place. And then God, he scattered those people. He confounded their languages. First of all, you find this in Genesis 10 through 11, that it was after the flood in the days of Noah, there was a global system at that time. And it was centered in the plain of Shinar, which we call Babylon. And so that's why it was called the Tower of Babel, the place where God confounded the languages of men who had a global system. And instead of worshiping God, what they decided they do is worship the stars and the host of heaven and exalt themselves and make themselves a name. So that's an old sin that goes way back, all the way to Genesis 10 and 11. And God's solution was to scatter people all over the earth and confound their languages. That's why there's so many languages on the earth even today. And so that was his solution, to slow down and retard the process of sin continuing to get worse and worse and worse until man, you know, he's trying to make a name for himself, basically, is what's going on there in Genesis chapter 11 when God confounded the nations. And so God has given this story. Let's read this text so we can get some understanding of what I'm talking about here. I'll give you a text from the Word that you can also study any other time. But this Psalms number 2, this thing, people who study with me, the members of our church and other ministries, know that this is a favorite passage of mine, because it kind of puts the whole system of the world and the whole system of salvation that God has provided. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants me to be saved, which is a big job, I'm going to tell you now, because I'm a long way away from being holy by myself. I need God. I'm not holy at all without Him. And so today we have a lot of people who want to say they're holy and they don't necessarily need God. They slap a little God in here and there, but really it's all about me. Well, that's not the way it works, people. God is accepting everyone who believes in Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. He has one way, and He doesn't even want you to be confused. And it's never been any different. God, from the foundation of the world, He provided His Son, Jesus Christ, in order that you and I might believe on Him and be saved. Not only you and I, but everyone else in the world. So look at this in Psalms 2. Let's read this. Read this with me if you have it. Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And then shall He speak to them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Now in that psalm, and you're going to see this, I'll try to break this down and unpack it a little for you this morning. God is already talking about the whole system of the world from start to finish. He's revealed His plan that His Son, His only begotten Son, which is in the old covenant, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, will be seated up on a throne, and He will be the supreme ruler of heaven and earth. And that was God's plan all along the way, even after when He had made Adam. Before He made Adam, this decree was given between God the Father and God the Son in eternity past. And so what we see here is it says, why do the heathen rage in verse 1? Now that word heathen speaks of Gentiles, anyone else who is not a Jew. In other words, there's only two divisions of human beings that at this time, the time of the writing of this, in the whole world, and that would be Jew and Gentile. And so the Jews are God's chosen people. Gentiles are anyone else who is not a Jew. They were there already. So the Jews were actually born out of the Gentiles. God called Abraham a Chaldean Gentile, and it would be through his seed, He promised, that He would bless all the kingdoms of the earth. And so He calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and that's like right over there what we would call today Mesopotamia, the land between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. Today there would be Iraq, Iran, a lot of other nations right in that area, Syria. Assyria and those nations are still there today, and they are mentioned in the Bible. The Bible is the most accurate history book and archaeological book that you will ever find. It's the most accurate on any subject that it addresses because it's written by Almighty God, with the wisdom and the knowledge and the power of the Most High God. So He called out of the Gentiles the Jews to be a people for His own possession. And eventually, after three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they came to be known as Israel, which was a name given to Jacob himself, which is the third generation from Abraham. And he blessed them, and he called his name Israel after he wrestled with the angel. So from that time on through up until this second, and on until the future, to the last days, there have been two divisions. I'm going to add one other thing to that, let me say, because after the first coming of Christ, when Jesus came to His own, who were the Jews, it says in John chapter 1 that His own received Him not. And see, that was no surprise to God. God already knew that His own people would reject Him, that they would eventually crucify Him and find Him guilty, but it was God the Son who they had done this with. They will lay Him in the grave. God had written it all in bold detail in the Scriptures, in the Bible. You can find all these things are verified in the Scripture. So God, He gave the Son. He came to His own. His own received Him not. They found Him guilty, crucified Him according to the law and the prophets. And he rose out of the grave on the third day, as it was written in the scripture. And we call that good news the gospel. And he said, don't sound like good news, Pastor, if they took God's son and they killed him. Well, you know what? It wouldn't be good news if it wasn't the fact that he was God. So it would be terrible news if that was the end of the story of Jesus Christ. But in fact, it was written in the scriptures throughout all those years, from the days of Moses, clear on through Malachi, exactly what happened to Jesus the Messiah, blow by blow, detail by detail, and Jesus came and fulfilled everything that it said, to the T, to the letter. And he fulfilled it all. It included his death, it included his misjudgment, it included him being beaten and scorned, spit upon, a crown of thorns pressed into his head. It included all of that that we see when we look at the epic of the cross, when Jesus came to face the cross. And so the fact is, the cross is the way God was going to reconcile the whole world to himself by the blood of Jesus and the death of his own son. Now let's look again here just quickly at Psalm 2 as we're talking about it. I don't want to go too far afield. Why do the heathen rage? Why are men so much in a rage? And you know what? We could see it last night on the TV. The men are raging. They don't have the answers. They don't know. They feel cheated. They feel discriminated against. You know what? It's true. People do that. People do that. Fallen sinners do that. And then other fallen sinners say, well, I'm going to get you back. And they turn around and they go right back and do just the same kind of ugliness that was done to them that shows you the hypocrisy of that whole situation. You know, it's really hypocrisy. What's the difference if somebody discriminates against you and then you go and try to retaliate and get back at them? You know what the Bible says? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And then he says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. And he said, by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. So there's a lot of people who won't like that. But it's the truth. It's what God said. You know what? You don't have to fight the battle. God has already won the battle. And all you need to do is trust in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you shall be saved. You know what? I'd rather have the protection of God on my life than anything else. I'm not looking for the National Guard. I'm not looking for the Army. I'm not looking for anything but Almighty God. And you know what? He has kept me all this time. So I'm here because he kept me. You know, not because I fought somebody or I was more heinous than they were in doing what I did. Now, you know what? I've got a lot of heinous stuff in my life that had used to go on, and God is beginning to fix that too. But he does it when you trust in his son and believe that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. And what happened to Jesus? That was the worst of discrimination that you could ever find. It was executed by his own people and by the Gentiles. See, and God knew this is where the whole character of human nature is. Man is really bad. And what most people think, man is really good. And there's just a few bad seeds out there. That's not true. Every seed is corrupted. There is none righteous, the Bible says, not even one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that's just in case somebody said, oh, except me. No, not you either. That's what the word says, Romans 3:10-23. Just read that when you get a chance. So nobody is righteous. The people who did that stuff we just saw in the news, that was definitely evil, no question about it. You know what? God saw it. He saw it. He was right there. You know what? Who's going to do something about it? God is. You know what? I don't have to worry about it. It doesn't help me to go destroy somebody else's property to deal with something that God is going to take care of. You just watch and see. You're going to see that God will take care of it. And you know what else? Think about this now. I got to digress just for a minute. You're in a situation where we're already in the middle of a global pandemic. And now the devil would like to have all these people rush out into the streets and sucking in some corona while you're out there. And while you're out here protesting, you may be doing damage to yourself and your own family. You know, you need to be careful. And we would just learn to trust God. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not to your own understanding. Is that unfair? Yes. Does God know it? Yes. Is he going to do something about it? Yes. So I don't have to lean to my own understanding. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. God's going to show you what to do and how to walk. So you need to be careful because there's so many things threatening everyone. right now that we don't need to add to it. You know what the devil is, that kind of way. He'd like to get you out there and get a whole tens of thousands of people corrupted and infected so they can all be sick. You know, watch what you're doing in these evil times. These are things that we have to learn, that to live through the deception of these latter days, these evil days. And so these times are coming, but it's no surprise to God. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? No, the stuff people imagine is vain. It's not going to profit them anything at all unless they are connected to God properly, and that's why we are here. This is why the church exists. When Jesus came to his own, was rejected by them, God knew it. He had written it down in graphic detail. Read Isaiah 53, Psalms 22, Psalm 102, I could just give you a whole list. On through, even back to Genesis 3:15, that tells you God has a plan through his son, Jesus Christ. The ones who trust in him and believe in him will not perish. That's God's promise to me and you. So when Jesus came, the heathen raged, they misjudged his son, they beat him mercilessly over and over. It was completely unjust. It was way more unjust than anything you and I have ever seen. They took him at nighttime when the courts and the stuff was closed, and had a trial, and whooped him and beat him, and took him to Pilate back and forth. He went back and forth to all the systems of government and law at that time. Pilate even gave him a correct judgment and was going to dismiss him because he said, I find no fault in him. Three times. See that? I find no fault in him. Why? Because Jesus was perfectly righteous. And you know what the Jews said? Crucify him anyway. And the Romans, crucify him anyway. So you want to talk about gross injustice, God's son was treated much more worse than any of us have ever been. And it doesn't justify us to go and do something. Realize God knows about it. And what happened to Jesus is far worse than anything that ever happened to any human being at any moment in time. But so God wanted you to see that to show you how invested I am. I got some skin in the game. I'm not just telling you anything to do. You can see it. Your history will tell you Jesus was mauled, ridiculed, beaten beyond recognition, bleeding so profusely that only God, the Son, could bleed like that. That's what I want you to understand. It was the most devilish thing that was ever done in the history of time. See? And it was not for no reason. God knew that the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, that the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Anointed is the word for Christ, his Messiah, saying, and this is what they are saying, the general idea of the governments and the populations of the world is let us break their bands asunder. Let us be free from all that holy stuff, that church stuff, all that. We just want to break loose from all that and let us cut loose and do our thing. That's what the world is saying. Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cut away, cast away their cords from us. They're holding us back. We want to get back to that tower where there is a one-world system coming up just like there was in Genesis 11 that God scattered and confounded with languages. It's coming back together. All the things are coming back together, and it's going to be another one-world system shortly. It's not going to be long up the road. God's solution is trust in his Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, the Bible says. God has put him in the middle of time. You know what? You can't really ignore Jesus. You can do it, but it's foolish, let me tell you right now. Because your calendar is telling you Jesus was born 2,020 years ago. Before that, it's B.C. Christ is the most significant individual in the history of mankind, and God made it that way so you won't overlook him. If you overlook him, that'll be the most foolish thing you ever did. You know what? And there's deception even about that. You have false religions that say there's some other way to be saved. You got folks talking about all kinds of stuff, how you get saved. Then you got so-called Christian religions who make a bunch of denominations that God has not fostered any of them. You know what? There's two denominations in the world. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. So those are the two divisions in the world. You believe him or you don't. He didn't say nothing about no Baptist, and I realized we carried a banner of Baptist because it was here when I came. I might be changing it in a few days. Let me let you know, because I don't believe in what Baptists teach. I don't believe in what Catholics teach. I don't believe in what apostolic people teach. They make all those things. I mean, if they teach in the Bible, I believe it. But I don't believe in stuff this man made. Now, Jesus said there's only two ways that you can be. He who is not with me is against me. And he who is not gathering with me scatters abroad. So you're in one of those two groups. There are two denominations, if you want to call it a denomination. You believe Christ and you're saved, or you don't believe him and you're lost. See, now be careful, because as I said, the message is called Living Through the Days of Deception. This is the time when deception is at a high point right now. The devil would like many of us to believe in some of these other peripheral lies and go right into hell with him. See, he would like you to think that being a good Pentecostal will get me in heaven. No, it won't. The only thing getting you in heaven is the blood of Jesus. He'd like you to think, oh, the Pope is going to sprinkle me with something or do some sacrament on me. Straight to hell. Without Jesus alone, you are not saved, whoever you are. See, so believe this. Understand what Jesus said. He said, he who is not with me is against me. You either believe him, and you know what? You can trust the Bible. The Bible is the most trustworthy document on earth or in the heavens, anywhere. Got people who think that there's other stuff out in the heavens, you know, where you might, we're going to go to Mars and find some people over there. Well, you know, when you get there, you need Jesus. But the Bible says the heavens and the earth are cursed, you see, with God's curse because of the sin of Adam. And God sent one fix for the curse, and that is his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So these are the days of deception, people. I want you to understand there are many things trying to deceive you and divide your affections. The devil does not want you to be happy, you know, and neither does man. Man wants you to be on their system. They're working on a one-world system right now, you know, and they're trying to, and this will happen because it's a prophecy that's already been written, and I guarantee you it's just as real as the nose on your face. You see, there will be an Antichrist. We told you about that last week. He is going to rise and mislead many. You know who he's going to mislead? The people who don't know what's in the Bible, who don't understand the truth, who think there's something they have to do to add to it to be saved. So many people have different additions that they have added to what they think you need to be saved. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. It's very simple. God is not making it complicated. People make it complicated. That's why it says the heathen rage. And people imagine a vain thing. See, and the kings of the earth are my rulership in the world. Set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's God the Father and God the Son. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't want to be held down by them, by God's word. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. This is one of the few times you'll find in the Bible that it says God laughed. And you know what? His laugh will be shutting some folks down. Because you know what? The kings of the earth think they're really something. I'm going to tell you now. You can look at any of them. Check them all out all around the planet. I'm not into any. You know another thing sending people to hell? Some of the deception of our time? Politics. Let me drop that bomb right here. Democrats and Republicans are not going to get you saved. Democrats and the Republicans need to be saved. There's one way to be saved, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, who is above all, through all, and in you all who believe. Ephesians 4 and 5. Republican Party ain't going to save you. They don't have any equipment. Nobody there is perfect. Nobody in the Democratic Party is perfect or has any equipment. They don't have perfect blood without sin. One has had perfect blood without sin. That's Jesus. And so that's the only division you need to worry about. I see so much back and forth, chitter-chatter about Republicans and Democrats. Republicans and Democrats didn't exist when Jesus was crucified. Understand that. And I'm not trying to shoot either party down. I got friends who believe on both sides, and I have to walk carefully because I don't want to offend them. But you know what? You shouldn't be offended because I'm telling you the truth. God sent his son. His politics and his government is higher than every government on the earth. There's a song, and I'm not going to sing it for you, but I might sing a little. It says, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. That's the song I said I wasn't going to sing. But in either case, it's all about Jesus. It's not about the Kremlin. It's not about any red square. None of that. Not the White House. Not the City Hall. Not any of that. It's all about Jesus. He is the only one that can make you right with God. That's why the world is centered around Jesus, not centered around the Republicans or the Democrats. They didn't even exist. is centered around Jesus. Don't let that stuff hang you up as part of the deception that we need to live through in these last days. All kinds of deception is making people make bad decisions about the truth. And so I wanted to be real clear about that today. And it's written right here in the Psalms and all through the Bible, you'll find out. But there is going to be a one-world government. There's going to be a one-world bank monetary system. There's going to be a one-world ruler. And things are setting themselves up and lining themselves up with that right now. Every day it gets closer and closer. So look out for all of that. Trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get His Holy Spirit to come in you. You know how you do that? Believe Him. When you trust in Christ, God will give you the Holy Spirit and seal you, like it says in Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30, that you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit, in turn, will help you interpret what God is saying in His Word. You need that. You don't need MAGA or any of these things people are talking about. You know what? Because in the end time, none of that's going to mean anything. The only thing that's going to mean something to me or you is our allegiance to Jesus Christ. We believe Him. And you know what? He ain't saving us because we're so spotless and holy either. Let me debunk that too. I hear a lot of people, and I got to go here. I'm sorry, my time's almost up. But I have to go here. I need you to understand there's a lot of people. There's nothing wrong with doing good. Because doing good is wonderful. You know, but it can't save you. There are a whole lot of people I would agree with. Everything that's taught in Judaism who has rejected Jesus as Messiah is good stuff. I can listen to a rabbi teach all day because he's teaching good stuff about what's right and how to do stuff and how to live holy. But you know what? He rejects Jesus. If you reject Jesus, it doesn't make any difference how righteous you are or how much righteousness you can stack up. You will not be saved. God has made a decree, and we're going to see that here. Notice what it says there. God says, let's go back to Psalm 2. I can name a number of people, denominations, all that. Got these hoops you need to jump through. But the real deal is, do you trust Jesus Christ? Do you believe that God raised Him from the dead? If you do, you shall be saved. That's very simple. So you're in one group or the other. There's only two denominations. You trust Christ. You believe God raised Him from the dead. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, or you don't. That's where you stand right now. It says here that He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak to them in His wrath. You know what? God right now is speaking to us in His grace. Right now, in this whole time period, from 2,020 years ago up till now, even really from Genesis up till now, all the way back to Adam up to now, people have been getting saved by grace. Even though there was a law in place, it was not so that people could keep it and be saved. You know why? Because they never kept it. That's the thing that the Orthodox Jew needs to understand. You didn't keep the law, otherwise why you got to go to the temple and make a sacrifice? You're going there because you broke the law, not because you kept the law. See, the law said go there, and it was a vehicle of grace that you could go to the temple, make a sacrifice. So God was showing you forth that He would send His Son at the right time to take that penalty once and for all upon Himself and receive death for the remission of sin. And why was that? Because Adam sinned, so it was in the likeness of Adam. The Bible talks about the first Adam. That's the Adam who sinned, got us all in a mess. Everybody, not just me, but everybody. Everybody is in a mess. You are full of sin, and you can't do anything about it. So God sent His own Son, as He had promised from before Adam was created. Read that in Ephesians 1:4. That He chose us in Him from the foundation of the world. God was planning your salvation before He made anything, and the devil didn't surprise God by tricking Eve, which caused Adam to sin. God knew about it already. The beautiful thing about that, I don't have time to take it up today. I'm about to do it on Bible study on Wednesday. So I look to see you here for that. But in either case, let's get back to this message. One way to be saved. You're either saved or you're not. It ain't got nothing to do with who came along later. Johnny Come Lately, whether it was John Wesley, and I love him, or any of these people who came up with him. John Calvin, a lot of controversy about that. Calvinism, all kinds of stuff. None of that will save you. One way you can be saved. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified on the Roman cross, buried in the grave for 3 days and nights, got up on the third day morning and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And He told the church, go ye therefore and teach all the nations. We got a church today, part of the deception, is we're going to teach you how to
be healthy and prosper and all this. No. You know, God will take care of that. He's been taking care of that for me for all my days. I don't need anything from the church for that. God is the one who takes care of me. He's been doing it. I'm expecting him to continue, and I can do better. You know, I'm not against that, but that's not scripture. You know what? I'm worried about your soul. I want you, and I'm not worried about it. I'm preaching it because I was dispatched to do so. God wants you to know you're saved. That's why he gave the son. That's why I can't get off of that. And it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, Titus 3:5 says, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. See, God did that. He's the only one that made a way for you to be clean. So don't get hung up in denominations. Don't get hung up in ecumenical systems. What that means, that's a big term. It just means we have people today, and I love these people. Like Dennis Prager, I can listen to him all day. But you know what? He said just doing good is what we need to concentrate on. Doing good will not get you in heaven. You can't go to heaven, and I hope Mr. Prager hears my message. You need Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And don't try to make little of the blood of Jesus, because said he who sits in the heavens will laugh. And he'll hold you in derision because you rejected the Son. So it doesn't make any difference in comparative righteousness because all of us miss the mark. No matter how high we hold a standard of righteousness, it's not getting you in heaven. It may be good on earth. Yes, it is. You know what? There's nothing wrong with doing good. Doing good is wonderful. Do all the good you can. Galatians says there's no law against doing good. Do all you want. You can overload on it. God doesn't have a law against it. But you can't be saved by it. You have to be saved by the blood of Jesus. That's why he told the Galatians, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? He said, this only what I know of you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? And the truth is, hearing with faith is what saved you, not by the works of the law. You had that when I came to tell you the gospel, and you weren't saved. You didn't get saved until you trusted in Christ, his shed blood and his resurrection, and then you got saved. So don't go back now, as he told them, to weaken better the elements of the world. That's what we're talking about. That's part of the deception of the last days. People say, oh, that's just a game. We all just get along. Yeah, but no, you can't. You know why? Because you're full of sin, and you need the blood of Jesus. That's why you can't. See? So don't let some ecumenical thing. It looks all like we're so magnanimous because we accept the Muslims and the Jews and the Pentecostals and all that. You know what? None of that means anything to God. The only thing that means something to God is the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. So you better know that. Understand that. And when you receive Christ, you got what you need. Then you won't need anything else. You won't need anything else. But God will teach you and train you. And don't say, oh, Pastor Fisher is preaching against doing good. No, I'm not. Because the only way you can really do good, be right with God. And let God direct your path. That's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. That's what's happening if you're saved. God, the Holy Spirit, has moved in. He's going to teach you his word. He's going to make your works better, the best they ever been. And you can start to really understand it's only by his grace and give him all the glory. Man wants to steal the glory for himself. Quickly, let me move on here. He says, moving on, that the Lord will declare a decree, verse 7 in Psalm 2, that he said unto me, thou art my son. So don't let the Jews tell you that the Messiah was not God's son. Don't let the Muslims tell you Allah has no son. God said, my son, here, in Psalms 2 and 7, he said, this day have I begotten thee. So yes, he was born of God by Mary. So don't let somebody trick you right there. That's why I'm going to help you to live through the days of deception, because we're in them right now. And you need to understand the gospel right well, that God alone will get the credit for anybody who is saved. If I get any credit, then it's not of God. Because it's not by works lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2, 9 says. For by grace you have been saved, in verse 8, Ephesians 2, 8. And he says, by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't have anything to boast about except that God had mercy to save a wretch like this. He gave his son, put him in the center of time, so I don't need to worry about anything. Not death, not the grave, not corona, not violence, not racism. None of that. God got my back. See, that's what you need. That's what I need. So don't give in to the deception. Oh, I got to defend myself. No, the scripture says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. See, and so God's going to repay those who have done wrong. And he knows everything about everything they're doing. So please understand that. Moving on in this psalm, I got to move on. My time's really gotten away. He says on, moving into the next verse, verse 8, ask of me, you see that? And I shall give thee the heathen, this is the son speaking to the father, which are the Gentiles for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now here's the part that we need to be concerned about. God is upset because people ignore his son. That's the only thing God is interested in you doing is acknowledging his son. But he says here, I'm going to give you all of that, son. I'm giving you the whole earth, everything in it. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell in it. God owns me. He owns you, whether you believe him or not. He gave his son for all of you. And if you don't accept him, it's your fault, not his. Understand that. If you don't accept Christ, that's your fault, not God's. Because God said, I already gave my son, put him in the middle of the calendar, so you really can't overlook him. See, if you do, that's your fault. So if you lost, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's not my fault, because I'm telling you, I serve you notice right now, God is requiring men, women, boys, and girls everywhere to believe on his son. And he said, if you do, you shall be saved. Jesus said it this way, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16-17. See? So if you want to be saved, one way, that is through Christ and him alone. Not by works, not by do you know the Bible from cover to cover, like I hear people say. And you don't anyway, so I don't know why you say it. You don't know it from cover to cover because it's a living book and it keeps getting deeper and deeper. The more you study, the deeper it gets. And that's it because it's a living and abiding word of God. Let me move on. He says, verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's the father telling the son, you have my authority to judge men because they refuse to do it. You know what? I want to be on the side of his grace, not the side of his rod of iron. I hope you want to be on the side of grace, not on the side of his rod of iron. Because God has given you time. You know what? I've had 63 years thus far to get in on the gospel, to get in on the good deal. You know, however old you are, that's how long you have. So I hope you receive him today. It's self-love for you, and he wants you to be saved. He loves you, and he's given you all this time. That's grace. In order for you to receive a son. If you are saved, don't let the devil trick you into thinking there's something else that you need to do. Oh, yes, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. That's the way the devil comes. See, to steal, kill, and destroy. And that he's the father of lies, Jesus said. So believe the fact that God loves you and he wants you to be saved. I'm going to move on. My time is burning quickly. Notice what else it says here. Verse 10, Psalm 2:10, be wise, therefore, O ye kings. Now he's talking to the rulers, to the king. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. See, God doesn't care where you are. If you're there, he lets you be there. Whoever's in office, God lets you be in office. You know what? He can set you up and he can set you down. When he's done with you, you'll be set down, whoever you are. So you need to trust Christ as well, every one of you. No matter what country you're in, you need to trust Christ. That's the only way you can be right with Almighty God, is trust in his son. Otherwise, be wise, therefore, ye kings of the earth, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That's what we need to do. Kiss the son, that means worship. Lean and praise him, lest he be angry. God will be mad at you if you skip Jesus. That's what I was saying about some of these other moralists that we hear out here. Rush Limbaughs, all those kind of people want to tell you all about stuff and it's kind of twisted with politics and all that. None of that. Just the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are all they who put their trust in him. So if you trust in the Lord, that's where your blessing comes from. See, lean not to your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge him. Now, Revelation, I got to stick this cram it in here.
They see it in 14:6. We looked at 13 last week. You can get that message. It's still on the website, teachingbible.org. Revelation 14:6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. See, the gospel is to the whole world. And after the church is taken out, God will begin to preach with angels that will preach to the world. See that? And he has two witnesses that will show up in the last days. Can't tell you about that in the time we have, but we'll keep tuning in. We're going to get to it. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. That's the thing from God. The decree from God to the world is worship him. See? Not get hung up in politics and all that. Politics is only a temporal thing, and God designed that to keep people from being reckless. And you know what? If we didn't have any government, any law, any army, none of that, the world would be way worse than it is. You could see it last night watching all the unrest going on everywhere. And that was people resisting against the government. See? And you know what? Not all the police are corrupted and bad. There are some folks in there that are really in there for good reasons and purposes, and they're being put in harm's way because people want to press racism farther than what they ought to. You know what you ought to do? Pray and ask God to do something about the problem. You know, and you know what else you do? Vote. Go down there. You got a right to vote. Vote some other people in to have good judgment. That's what you do. You don't fight with bricks and stones and all of that. You know what you do? You go on your knees. You talk to God. And you go in the voting booth and make it through and through. Every bit of it. You're only going to get a measure of protection from human government. But what you need is the total protection of God. Hebrews 1:14 says, speaking of the angels, are they not all ministering spiritual? I'd rather have angels of God protecting me than thinking, oh, okay, the folks at the National Guard or whatever. No, no, no. The angels of God will protect you if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be all around you. Corona can't get you or whatever. You may, who knows. If you go through it, God can bring you through that too. Even that. And I'm not going to tell you my whole chapter. I got a whole thing I'd like to talk about on that. Don't have time. But let's move on. He says, here, these are the angels preaching now after the church has been gone. And God, think about this. The whole reason for this is God wants to save people. He doesn't have to save anybody. You know why he wants to save people? Because he loves you. He knows just exactly how rotten we are. And I gave my son, who was spotless, perfect, and without any sin, because I want to save him. And I have never changed. I started with Adam. Could have rubbed them all out real quick. Could have said, Adam, pass his buddy out of here. But you know what? God loved Adam. And God never changes. He never does. So he still loves you. But he won't force his way on you no more than he did on Adam. He allowed Adam to do what he wanted to do. He will allow you to do what you want to do. My recommendation for you is believe in his son and get on his good side and be saved. You're in either that denomination, those who are not with me or against me, Jesus said, Matthew 12:30. You're either with me or you're against me. Those are the only two denominations that God is acknowledging. You're either with me or you're against me. And it depends on the son. That's why I saw him too, to kiss the son, lest he be angry. The father will be angry if you don't honor the son. John 5:18, you are to honor the son, even as you honor the father who sent him. So this is where other denominations get tripped up too. Jehovah's Witnesses, oh, Jesus is a Michael the Archangel, not God in the flesh. Don't believe that lie. That's some of the deception of these last days. Trust what the Bible says, and you see it right there in many other places. Don't have time. I'm hurrying into a close. Verse 8 in Revelation 14, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive the mark, his mark, on their forehead or on their hand, that's coming up, people. I guarantee you, you're going to be getting told, put a chip in your hand or in your forehead. It's coming up. Say you heard it right here first if you never heard it before. See, it don't make no difference where you heard it. I want you to understand there's deception coming up to get you interested in putting a chip in your hand. He has a reason. Let's look on. Verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. That's what will happen to you if you go in the world system believing that they have something. Oh, it's going to vaccinate me and I'm not going to get any
sicknesses anymore. Or I can, don't have to worry about anybody robbing me or stealing from me anymore because I have a chip in my hand or mark in my forehead or in my hand. See, and you can see it. How could the Bible know that this is going to be happening? And we see it now. We got Apple Pay. We got all kinds of wireless no-touch pay. We got chip pay and all this. They've been checking in animals. I'm telling you, it's coming to people. Be aware, when you do it, you're on the wrong team. Understand this. It says here, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation. That's a cup I don't want to drink out of. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That's a euphemism for Jesus the Christ. And the smoke of their torment shall ascend up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. That's coming up. So I hope you can escape that. You should escape that by faith in Jesus Christ. You got to trust God no matter what you see. And that will help you make it through the deception. And you'll be able to live through the deception of these last and evil days. So throughout all of time since the fall of Adam, the disease of sin has caused mankind to do just as Adam did when he sinned, run away from God and hide themselves rather than to run to God and to the presence of God, who has never ceased to love them. He always has loved you. Every second you've been in the world, God has loved you. To receive his forgiveness, you ought to run to God for forgiveness. Don't run away. Run to God. I got a whole thing. I'm going to do it Wednesday because time's out now and I got to go. I want to talk with you about how you can know if it's the Spirit of God talking to you or if it's the devil or if it's the flesh. You got to know this. This is something we got to know. You know, how do you know? And I'm just going to give you some highlights and we'll talk more about it on our Bible study on Wednesday. How do you know if it's God speaking to you, telling you about something, or if it's something else or someone else? How do I know? Well, I'm going to talk about that. You want to know that? I hope you do. And I hope you'll tune in on Wednesday. We'll give you great details about that. Very important. Because you know what? If you get a spirit of condemnation where, you know, you'll hear some, oh, you know, you sinned again. And God is not happy with you. That's the devil. He is the liar and the accuser of the brethren. When it's making you feel bad, the sin you're doing, and you know what? We all have some sin. Don't nobody want to say that. You say, oh, I can't believe the church is saying we all have sin. Yeah, we do. You know, but you need to know when it's God, he'll say, yeah, you did it again, but if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's already paid the bill with Jesus' blood. He already got out of the grave for you. Get up and try it again. That's what makes you know it's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't give you a spirit of condemnation about what you did wrong. He gives you some aspiration to do right. And he's going to help you and tell you God has already forgiven you because he knows that Jesus paid the bill. We'll talk about that in more detail. But you need to know a spirit of condemnation not coming from God. It can be coming from your husband or your wife or your neighbor, whoever else, your son, your daughter. It's not coming from God. See, God is always going to build you up and make you a better man or woman. And he's going to always strengthen you because you're already his. You belong to me just like you would do your child. I might say some harsh things to my children, but I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm trying to make them better. I'm trying to make them see things differently and do it next time. Do it right. This is what you messed up on. Do it right. You can do it. And I'm looking for you to do it. That's the way it is. That's just a general one. More details on that later. So the difficult and challenging times that we are facing today are the precursor to the final season according to God's time frame as indicated by the signs that have been written by the prophets and the apostles in the Bible. So as to alert all people everywhere to receive Jesus, God's Messiah, who has come to give the world assurance of God, his Father's grace, mercy, and love that he openly displayed by giving his life in order to make available complete salvation to everyone who believes in him. Understand that. That's what God has done. And then somebody else will tell you something different. That's deception. God has made clear that I love them. I gave my son. All of you, if you don't know any Bible, you know John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But whosoever, that means anybody. He ain't talking about the Lutherans, the Pentecostals, the Catholics, none of that. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the message of God to the world. So I hope you know it. So as I close, as we can see, the world of all who fail to place their entire trust in Jesus, the only Savior or Messiah, will be misled by the coming ruler of the world, which is coming up, it's happening right in front of our eyes, the Antichrist, who shall unite the world under one new world order. That's coming up. It's been in the hearts of men for a long time. And he will deceive all unbelieving Jews, the Jews who don't accept Christ, who is the only Messiah. I'm saying that to the Jews. I hope you hear me, and I hope you believe Jesus today, because he loves you and he wants to save you. He loves you specially. You're a special group of people to him. So please believe Jesus. I'm crying out to you. And unbelieving nations, Gentiles, if you don't believe Christ, this is what's happening. The Antichrist is going to deceive you. He's going to demand the worship of himself, which is called the abomination of desolation. Read that in the book of Daniel and in Matthew. Jesus talks about it. And leads many to eternal destruction, all because they refuse to be saved through believing totally in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ alone as full payment for their sins. So you need to be prepared. I had a lot of it stored up. I apologize for being a few minutes long today. And I hope you have stayed with me or were able to. But I really pray that you trust God. Believe the gospel. That's why it's gospel, is that whoever believes it, it's good news. It's the best news. And we call it good news. I always feel like that's a little short. It's the best news I ever heard. That God can forgive an undone wretch. Like me, Isaiah said, I am a wretch undone. All the prophets all said, you know, I am undone. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. But God used him to write most of the New Testament, a good half of it at least. See what I mean? He can save you. He wants to save you. He loves you. If you trust him, it's a simple transaction. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to hold on to him with all my heart and do it as long as I can until he says, child, daughter, son, come on home. Whenever that is. You know, we don't know when that'll be, especially in these times we live in. So I hope you can be comforted today by the words that you've heard. We thank God for you. I'm going to go ahead because I didn't intend to be this long. But I haven't been in this at the pulpit. This is my favorite place on all the earth, is to be in front of God's people, teaching them his word. So I hope you got something out of the message today. And I thank God for you. And if you have questions or anything I was not clear about, put it on the page. We'll answer it. We'll get back to you. Amen. And we thank God for you. And we pray you got a good word from the message today. Amen. Hope to see you back here on Wednesday. We still went back to Wednesday. We had been doing Tuesday.
Yeah, I understand. All them days are good.
Mm-hmm.
For teaching, you know.
I'm doing a save.
I know what you're saying about saving and deceitful. Because you got people think they can do good and heal good. And all that's good.
Yep, none of that is going to help me.
Yeah, I still believe what it says. The scripture says he rained on the just as well as the unjust. So it don't just rain on me because I'm saved or think I'm saved. Yeah, you better stop there.